My top five podcasters, Chris Lambert, and probably myself, but this ain't about that. The Mundane Festival is where you're at. If you've been tapped in, you know what's up. If you're a first timer, hey, welcome to the club. The cost of admission is simply a subscription, then rating and reviewing it wherever you listen. Don't worry about change ups, the cast won't break up. Even when that $1 million contract show up, a stand up guy who's a stand up comedian with a stance on everything from food to media. So welcome to the show, please take your seat. Let's find out what he's got in store this week. Who, me? I'm Don Will, your opening act. Thanks for coming out. Please clap. The Mundane Festival. With your host, Chris Lambert.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of the Mundane Festival Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lambert, recording this episode on Sunday, December 4th, 2022. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast listening apparatus. If you're really into this thing, go over to Apple Podcasts, give the show a 5-star review, let everybody know why you like it, because it's simply the right thing to do. And if you want to take your love and appreciation of this show to an even deeper level, go over to patreon.com/mundanefestival. Subscribe for $3 a month for hours and hours and hours of bonus content. This is episode 614. I have a super special guest, Tim Hall, a.k.a. The People's Critic. You know him. You love him. It's going to be a great episode. I'm just going to talk to you for a bit. I'm recording this on the great Hove's birthday. Happy birthday, Jay-Z. I just fresh off a breakfast. I had a breakfast that I thought I was prepared for, and I wasn't completely prepared for it. Yesterday, I decided that I was going to, at some point over the weekend, make myself a nice breakfast. Every now and then, I like to go to Whole Foods and get some of their chorizo sausage, cook that up, make an omelet with some veggies, some green peppers and onions, and some cheese, preferably Tillamook. So I've been going back and forth for the past year from Jersey to Maryland, and I lose track of the groceries that I get. A lot of times I'm getting groceries from my mother, and I forget what I have at home. So I get up, I had a show last night. I'll talk a little bit about that. Had a show last night, get home late, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to have that omelet when I get up, make myself a nice omelet. And I get up, and I'm like, oh my God, do I have any butter? And I thought there's like a little piece of butter left. I said, I thought I had bought some butter. And then I was looking through my refrigerator. I was like, I found the butter. Great. And then I said, oh, let me get my cheese. Let me get that Tillamook out. It was a little bit of Tillamook cheese left. I thought I had some cheddar slices. I did. But they were moldy, so I had to throw those out. So my omelet wasn't as cheese-filled, wasn't as cheesy as I like it. But it was serviceable. It was pretty. It was good. I'm not saying it's my best work, but it wasn't my best work. But it was good. I had prepared. I had brought myself some chopped peppers, green, red, and yellow peppers. And some red onions. That's the way I like to do it. You can do it however you want to do it, but that's the way I like to do it. And it ended up being a good omelet. So I salvaged a good meal. I made a good meal, however you say it. I'm not 100% sure. It's relatively early. It's not early. I can't even blame it on it being early. It's almost 11 o'clock. My apologies for the five of you that like to get this show at 12:01. On Sundays, but I'm here. You're getting it. You're just going to be getting it a little later. So this week was pretty good. This week was actually a good week. I came back, I had spent Thanksgiving with my mom and came back Monday night, hung out with a friend on Tuesday, and then I was just all excited for the show this weekend at Westside Comedy Club. And I got a, what else? What other fun things did I do? I got a haircut. So that was pretty fun. I talked to my barber. Actually, my barber, I've talked about this before. He's come to see me do shows. He's the one of those people that back up his talk. He came to see me do. He actually drove to Atlantic City, him and a lady friend, before the pandemic hit, and he came to the show, and he was impressed. He was pleased. He was impressed by my work as a comedian, because you know how some people say, oh, I'm going to come to your show, and they never come. And he's the one where maybe a few years back where he had that time where I was in his chair and I was getting a cut, and I was like, yo, he had something on pause. And I was like, yo, is that The Last of Us? He was like, yeah, I'm trying to get past this part. And I helped him, and he got towards the end, and I helped him, showed him how to beat the game and all that. And it was fun, and he hasn't played The Last of Us Part 2 yet. And we were talking about that, like, on while I was in the chair, and I was like, yeah, I'm gonna get you that game. But I don't think he has a PlayStation anymore. I don't think I'm gonna get him a PlayStation, but I'll most likely I said I would try to get you that game, 'cause it's cheap now. But I'd so fast forward to like maybe Thursday. I just happened to be looking through Twitter, and Fatboy Deals had The Last of Us pretty cheap, and I forget how much it was. And I tried to get it was sold out or something like that, or some weird shit. Then I went to see how much it cost, and I saw that Walmart had it for like $11, like $10.97. And I was like, okay, I'm doing it. I got it for him. And I was gonna pick it up, and they said, oh, we can't pick this up for you. Something that was like, you know how you order the thing and you pick it up at the location. So that's what I was gonna do. And they sent me a message saying it can't be picked up, or they were out of stock. So they just mailed it to me at no extra charge. So they sent it to me that the same day. So when the next time I go see my barber, I'm giving him this game, which will hopefully make him play it, because as many people as I can get to play this game in my life, it will be a good thing. But I just wanted to get it for him, as a token of my appreciation of his good work on my hair. And he's a nice dude. Yeah, so that was cool. And so Thursday I was just chilling. I was working TPSing with the day job, and I get a call from this man, the manager at Bananas, and she's like, hey, can you do the show open for Jordan Fisher, and just a two-hander? He's like, I'll pay you host and feature money. I was like, okay, let's do it. So it was just a one-off, a one-nighter, two-hander with me and Jordan Fisher. Jordan Fisher's been on Comedy Central and the Tonight Show and a bunch of other stuff. Nice dude from North Carolina. I had only met him one time. He's one of those young upstarts that just blow up right away. Good-looking guy, nice guy. And I had met him at Night Train on Wyatt Cenac's show years ago. And I remember talking to him, and he's from North Carolina. I was like, yeah, okay, what's up? I remember that. And then we worked together on Thursday. It was fun. Nice little crowd. It was Bananas is in a, it used to be in Hasbrouck Heights in the conference room of a Holiday Inn. That's where I opened for Bill Burr. That was like a magical make-a-wish moment. That's like a storybook moment in my life, where if you don't remember, years ago, this might have been 20, maybe 2012. I think I'd seen Bill Burr in 2011 at Carnegie Hall, if I'm not mistaken. I did see him at Carnegie Hall, crushed it or whatever. Then he was doing a show at Caroline's, and I was trying to watch the show, but it was sold out, and the manager kicked me out to give somebody seats that actually paid. I get it, but he was kind of rude about it. And I'm just a comic trying to see one of the goats. And I said, okay, the next time Bill Burr's in town, I'm just going to pay for a ticket and not have to stress about this shit about getting a seat. So I did that day. And when I found out he was doing a show at Bananas, that's right down the street from me, I'll go get a ticket. And I know Paul Verzi, his really good friend. And I said, "Oh, Paul, you opening for Burr at Bananas?" And he's like, "Yeah." And I said, "Oh, cool. Well, I'll see you there." So I'm standing in line, and I'm just talking, just happen to be talking to whoever's in front of me or something, or talking. And I was like, "Yeah, I'm a comedian too." And it's like, "Oh," it's like, "Are you, he, what did he say? Are you?" He said something. It was something the way he said it. It wasn't mean, anything mean, but he just said, "Oh, you're gonna go on?" I said, "No, if I." I said something like, "Oh, if I was gonna go on, I was like, no, I don't remember how it went out. I'll probably forget. I'll remember probably after I upload it." But it was something that he said. It was just like, "Yeah, I didn't. I just paid to come see the show and all that." And so then, I see Bill and Paul come through, because it's a hotel. Is you can't really miss anybody. And then Paul sees me. He's like, "Hey, Chris." It's like, "What?" He says, "Wait 1 minute." And I was like, "Oh, okay." And then Paul comes to get me, and he takes me in the back, like this other conference room, which is like the green room for the comics, because it's at a hotel. And I go back there. I'm hanging out with Bill and Paul and the producer and another comic, and we're just hanging out, talking. Everything's chill. Then we're there for maybe like a half hour, and then the producer comes back, comes in the room. He's like, "Yeah, so how are we gonna do this?" And Bill said, "I'm gonna do an hour. Let all these guys do like 10." And I was like, "Holy shit!" So that means I'm opening for fucking Bill Burr, and I was prepared. And I went and crushed. I had a really great set, and then at the end of that show, we went to White Castle. So that was pretty fun. I got the picture somewhere. That was like maybe, I think 2013, if I'm not mistaken. And that was like early in the year, and that was really one of those magic moments or something, but I think the guy said something like, "Oh, are you?" I said, "No, I'm not." I think the guy asked if I was famous. I was like, "No, I'm not famous. If I was famous, I'd be on the show or something." And I ended up performing. I forget what that moment was, but that basically, in a nutshell, I opened for Burr, and there, and that was an awesome night. He was really nice, and he crushed. Yeah, so that was fun. How did I get on that tangent? I was talking about Bananas, and now it's in East Rutherford at a swankier hotel. I've talked about this before, at the Renaissance in Lyndhurst. Is that no, it's actually Rutherford, close to Lyndhurst, close to medieval times. I believe they did medieval close to medieval times, where I don't know, they have a scene at Garden on in Garden State, the movie. I don't think so. I think they just referenced it, and one of the characters worked there. I'm not sure if they filmed the cable guy at. No, cable guy, I think, took place in LA. So, but and that's just another medieval times reference, and they actually had scenes there. But that's the first time I heard of medieval times from the cable guy. That's a movie I have to either add to my collection or stream. Yeah, so I got to do that. If it's not like streaming anywhere, I got to add that to the collection. Also, on eBay, I did. It wasn't even a late night buy. It was a late night buy, but I think I was looking through Letterboxd, and I was trying to figure out how to see The Basketball Diaries, this Leo DiCaprio movie, which I don't think I've seen. Like, I haven't seen it, and I was like, and I've been trying to find it, and then I found. I just said, you know what? I'm gonna see if they got it on eBay. The Blu-rays prices are way too much. I think I found a brand new copy of it for like $7. So I'll get that sometime next week, or sometime this week maybe. So that was that. And Friday I just kind of took myself out on a date. I went to see after work, I went to see The Inspection, the movie with Jeremy Pope, who's this Broadway star, and he's now going into movies. I'll just give you a little review. Why not? I didn't know that I was going to be doing this. The inspection. I'll read you the blurb. Rejected by his mother, a young gay man finds unexpected strength, camaraderie, and support after he joins the Marines. It's written and directed by Elegance Bratton. It's a basically a biographical movie. I guess it's based on his life. I don't think everything is 100% true. Anyway, it's based on this guy's life. I really liked it. It was good. I thought that like Gabrielle Union was gonna it was gonna be a meatier role for her. She did a good job. Bokeem Woodbine was in it and it was great. And he was amazing. He was very subtle in the things that he was doing. It was like a really, the more that I think about it, it was a pitch perfect performance, very subtle and understated for a guy who's playing like a drill sergeant, where, yeah, you got it was interesting because he was the head drill sergeant and there were his subordinates that were one of the subordinates that were super crazy. And he was very measured and he kind of broke. He's very like menacing in a very subtle and nuanced way. He's so fucking good. That dude's just gotten better and better. The older he's gotten, he's just getting so much better. And I never had a problem with his acting anyway, but like, I just noticed like how fucking great he is. I don't know that it's enough for a best supporting turn. I left the movie saying like, yo, Jeremy Pope, give this fucking kid a nomination. I don't think it's going to happen because he's relatively new. He's only 30, so he's got time. But this is like, to be honest with you, I haven't really seen that many male performances that like really blew me away. And I was talking to the homie Tim Hall about this. We didn't talk about it on the pod, but I had hit him up on Friday and told him I saw it. And we were talking about this one particular scene that was just like, yeah, that's the scene that you really give somebody a nomination for. Because I was walking away. I was going into the movie like, oh, shit, Gabrielle Union's going to eat in this. And she did fine. She was good. And Bokeem killed it. But like, Jeremy Pope, it's like, it's his story. He's carrying the whole story. He's carrying the film on his back. And it's good. It was kind of like, it's like the first part of Full Metal Jacket meets Moonlight. So it's like, it's that, but it's just like with a dash of Moonlight and some homoerotic things that happen that would obviously probably happen. That somebody of that sensibility, that sexual orientation would probably think. There's one moment that I was like, okay, this is a little bit too much. That was you're kind of like, I was like, okay. And it's not because I'm not gay. It's just like, that's a little overboard, but I kind of got a laugh out of it. But I think maybe that was the point of that particular scene. But it's worth seeing. It's good. I don't know if it's playing at the Anywhere USA mall, I'm sure it's in pretty in a good wide release out there. But I did like it. It's very good. It's like an hour and change. How long is this movie? How long is this movie? An hour 35. Yeah, not long at all. It's good. And so after that, I had always been wanting to go to this place called the 130 Club in Colster, New Jersey. And because I wanted to go there because they have this burger that's supposed to be good. It's like the 130 burger, two patties, cheese. And you can get a fried egg on it. Or you could get two big like hunks of bacon. So I went with the hunks of bacon. I went there, and it's a really swanky, hoity-toity restaurant. I went there, and I got there maybe around 7, a little after 7. And they only have that many tables on the inside. And I went on their outside little tent. She said, you can. I was going to see where she's going to put me. She said, well, you know, we're kind of booked tonight, but there's a space outside, you know, we got heaters. They turned two heaters on me. So I was like, all right, let's do it. I've been staring at this. I've been following them on Instagram for months. Let's do it. Fuck it. You know, and I had to do valet parking. Thank God I had some cash in my wallet so I could tip those dudes. I was thinking about that. So I was like, oh God, because it's a little ass parking lot and a relatively small restaurant, but it was nice. The service was nice. I got a burger, I got a salad, and I got a cocktail. I forget the name of it. And it was good. And they gave me a complimentary gelato for dessert. I was like, no, I don't really want any dessert. I'm not a big dessert guy. It is not, you know, because sometimes you eat stuff like that that's really hearty. And the burger was good. It was just like, okay, I could take or leave dessert. I just didn't want to get any cheesecake. Nothing there really appealed to me. And they gave said, you know, we're gonna give you a gelato. It's our house gelato and all that. And the general manager came up to me. She was nice. And I just told them, I was like, yeah, you know, I followed you guys on Instagram for a long time, and I just figured I'd check you all out. And it was good. I definitely would go back. It's like actually a good like date spot. I was kind of scoping it out to see if I could take a date there at some point. But it was nice. I would go back. Always like to try places in my area, like not necessarily small businesses, but just like, I don't know if you would call that a small business. I don't know, but just a local place that's not a chain. You know, I try to do that as much as I can because you can just get caught up in the hype of just going to a chain place. You know, you just get in that. You know, Maryland, in a lot of ways, at least where I grew up, PG County, it's just like anywhere USA. Even though I don't know, I would call Shakey's Pizza a neighborhood pizza spot. It's a national chain, but I think each of them had their own vibes. I only been to two, but Shakey's was great. That was like you'd go there after football games. You'd have like your basketball banquet there, you know, at the end of the season. Or I remember we did have that, and that was a place where me and my dad went. My mom and I would my mom would go there, but a lot of times when after football games, my dad would take me there. And we spend time there. It was the shit. It was the fucking best. So that's one of the reasons I want to try. You know, I wanted to try it. So it's like you try those, but it's almost like they're kind of like not kind of like celebrities. If you see a person, that's like this place in what town is that? Now I'm on a fucking tangent. But this is just gonna be a robust episode. Salt and pepper. Wait, salt, pepper, ketchup in Hawthorne. It's this deli in Hawthorne, New Jersey. It's like maybe 15 minutes away from me. I had found discovered them. I might have talked about this before. I discovered them on Instagrams, this guy on Instagram, and I always had wanted to try it and just had never had the time or the times didn't work out. I would want to go there, they'd be closed or something. And Desus and Mero, RIP, their show, they went there, and now it kind of popped off. But I ended up going after that episode aired, and I said, man, I saw you on Desus and Mero, but I knew about you before. I was finally able to check him out. And I've been there a couple times. It's good. I got a chopped cheese there, but he'll make you anything you want, really. And it's good. Yeah, so I like going to places like that. I have to make sure that I do more of that. Yeah, so that I had a nice Friday night, and Saturday I worked on an audition. Actually, I worked on an audition Thursday night after I was done with my show. And that was the parts are starting to get bigger. The parts are starting to become more substantial for the stuff that I'm reading for, stuff that I'm reading and working on. So it's helping me artistically. I feel like I am working on my craft, and it's nice. It'd be nice to get some of these. Be nice to get some of these. I'm not gonna lie to you, but it's good to be considered for this stuff. And it's like kind of like high level stuff that if I got it, I'd be able to play more and not just give like exposition. He went that way. And I'm not mad at those parts that I did because they make me, you know, they make you they put get you in the industry, get your foot in the door and stuff. But it'd be nice to say more than a couple of things. And I've been having fun working on this stuff, and it's really pushing me. So I'm hoping that some of these pay off. And if one of these fucking pay off, holy shit, you would be, I think, for those of you that have been following me and listened to this podcast for a long time, your head would explode if you saw me with the people that I would be working with. You would be happy for me, and it would be good. So it's nice to be in the running for some of that stuff. I turned in a good ass audition, because I have to edit this stuff. And you know, some of the stuff where you have a little more meat on the bone, you get to work. And I was looking at the playback, because I chop it up and edit it and send it to my manager so he can send it to the casting directors and stuff. And I was like, wow, these are really good. And then I was just really feeling it. I'm at a point now where I'm just like feeling really confident and I'm liking the work that I'm doing. So it seems like the casting directors are liking it. They can only do so much. The producers are the ones who make the decisions, but I'm putting that work in, and it's slowly starting to pay off. So I'm hoping that I continue to get better, and then we book some of these, and I can be on your TV or your laptops and stuff. So that's good. There's other stuff. What else did I want to talk about? Last week I was talking about this the Xbox kid, and my mom showed up. Thank you for everybody that commented on liking my mom on the show. That was pretty neat. That was like a happy accident. But she was like, "Oh, can I listen?" I was like, no, you cannot." I was gonna say, like, you know, you get that kid a fucking Xbox, man. It's good. And those parents seem to be, at least a mother, even if it was a single mom, it's anytime you have an allowance for a kid. Now, okay, you have an allowance, you give a kid an allowance. But most kids don't know about giving to the, I'm not going to say that. They showed, one of the stories showed where he had money that he was giving away to give to the less fortunate. So if you're able to do that for your kid, to teach them those things, and it seems like the kid's a good person, you're raising this kid to be a relatively good fucking person, get the kid an Xbox. I would be embarrassed if I was a parent like that who was of some means to get that kid. And then for like a whole, that store, I guess it's called Drake's, maybe it's a chain that's in Kentucky where they're from. Like, to, I would be kind of embarrassed that all these people got around to get this kid an Xbox. It was like, I could have did this shit myself. I just get the kid a fucking Xbox. I don't think that story was all that sweet. I just kind of rolled my eyes. It's like, this seems like a really good kid. You have money. Pony up. You know what I mean? And maybe I'm coming from a place of privilege, but I don't think my parents had it like that, to where I know. But when I was of age, I was working off the books, cutting grass and doing stuff and getting money. And sometimes you could say, oh, if you're working, I see you working. I think my parents would be like, I'll put up the other half. If you make this amount of money, I'll put up the other half. If that kid's getting paid $5 a week, it's going to take him a long time to get paid for something that's $500. And you got to get a game. So, and I think when I got stuff, I think I was a spoiled kid, but I wasn't spoiled rotten. The times that I would get stuff is if I did well in school, or like in my stand up, or like when my dad bribed me with Jordans to get my black belt. But other than that, it was like Christmas time, your birthday. I remember one time I was being a brat because my cousins got a Nintendo. I'd had a Nintendo, and I was at their birthday, and I was like jealous. I was being a fucking brat because I wanted a toy or something. But other than those times, really, it was because I was I did well in school. I got a good report card, or it was my birthday or Christmas. And I had a good childhood when it came to getting all that stuff. I never wanted for anything, to be honest. But I just feel like, you know, I maybe I just have this like Holden Caulfield syndrome where you're this like catcher in the rye syndrome where it's like you want, especially when a kid's good and you got it and you got it like that, you could do something to help that kid. You can give that kid something that he or she wants, especially a black kid, because it's not fair for black kids to, we have to age and grow up a little faster. Some of us more than others. I don't think I had to do, I dealt with like, I mean, there's some, I think I had a good childhood overall. I think like that like 85% good childhood, that's pretty high. And I'm being a little strict. Like it might've been like a 92%, but 80 something percent like of a good childhood to where there was some shit that was going down that when you see something happen to one of your cousins, it's like, oh, well, I'm going to try to be on the straight and narrow. I'm not going to fuck off like this person did, because there's examples in your family. I think everybody has that. But yeah, I'm kind of going off my point, but I just think, you know, when you have a kid that's trying to be good or that just seems like he's inherently good, because the kid got the Xbox and they said, well, how do you feel? And he's like, well, I wish I had the job too. Like, okay, come on, you know? So I thought that kid was sweet and yeah. It was whatever. I just get the kid a fucking Xbox, like the title of that episode was. Just do it yourself. Anyway, so The Last of Us trailer, they released the official trailer. Who hit me with it first? I think the homie Tim Hall hit me with it first, and I was like, yeah, every time they show something, it looks really good. I'm excited. I'm going to do a recap of it. I think it's going to be a Patreon exclusive. It's amazing. It looks great. I'm excited for it. I can't wait. It's a little over a month from coming out. It looks fantastic. Everybody kept sending it to me. It's like, you know, I'm a nerd. I've seen it. But Tim was first though. Tim hit me first. I was like, oh yeah. Oh yeah. I watched it about 3 or 4 times. And the way that the bloater looks at the end, holy shit. It looks so good. That game, man, I'm so excited about that. And music, I'll give you some music, then we'll get to Tim. The reason why this episode will be a little more robust with the intro is because Tim and I did a Patreon episode. And Tim and I talked for like movie news and stuff like that. We shot this shit, had a great time. That's over on Patreon. And we were going to review Run Sweetheart Run. That's on Amazon Prime. We reviewed that and we talked movie news. And then we were going to review Bones and All, but we found that the Bones and All was kind of, it wasn't as, beefy. So I was like, okay, well, I'll just shoot the shit with him on this at the top and see where we get. But like, I'll get into that. Music, I just been listening to Phony People, listen to Nas. What I did on my way down for Thanksgiving, I listened to all the King's Disease albums and Magic that came out in 2021. That's a, like I said on the Patreon, like we've never experienced anything like this before as far as like an older MC that's almost 50 to be rapping at this level. It's not really surprising, and because Nas is really talented, but hip hop is still relatively young. I think hip hop is just getting its AARP card. When do you get your AARP card? It's senior citizenhood. So it's still relatively new. And if these dudes can stay alive, if they're not killing each other, then they can age gracefully. And I think he is aging gracefully. And after the bullshit that 21 Savage said, Nas did a song with him. I was like, one of my homies sent that to me. And I was like, that's nice. Nas is, he's trying to be a good guy and good for Nas. I think the record's okay, but it's like, Nas was like, instead of being like, fuck you, young guy, he's like, oh, let's do a song together, you know? But music-wise, I've been listening to that, and been listening to some Moonchild. I made myself a mix, and I put all their albums on a playlist and just shuffle some good, really good stuff. And then I just added, like, Amber Navran, who's the lead singer. She had an EP. I think she had two EPs come out recently. One in the last 5 years, and I added those into it, and very good. Very good stuff. One of my friends on Facebook posted this song, a link to this song by an artist named Isla, who's a white girl based in LA. She's got a song with Benny the Butcher called Lost Me, and I listened to it, and I was like, okay, this is good. She sounds just like all these, I think a lot of, maybe I'm just getting old, but a lot of these young girls, like these young women who are these young female R&B acts are, I think they're very talented and they're good, but a lot of them sound the same. And this is like this white girl from LA and she's a pretty redhead. And it's just like, oh, you just sound just like, I don't know. Maybe it's like, she's good. And she's got some good records. She had a record with Method Man. I listened to her album. Let me see. I thought I added this thing. I thought I added the record. Gosh darn it. Well, anyway, I was going to try to find the album. Isla. I don't have my phone on me. Her album is called Other Ways to Vent, and that came out in 2020, and she's got a record called Cash Rules with Method Man that I think I remember seeing the video back then, and it samples the, you know, Cream, and Method Man has a rap on there, and but the record I really like is called Strings. I love the melody, I love the hook. She's good. If you're looking for some new R&B muzak, she's good. So I was just into that. So I want to get you to Tim. I've blabbed enough. I just wanted to beef up the episode and just kind of catch you up with my week and the things that I've been going through. And then Tim and I, like I said, we did a Patreon episode, and this is part of our conversation where we talk about Bones and all. So I hope you have enjoyed me blabbing. And here's me and the great Tim Hall talking about Bones and all, starring the great Taylor Russell and that guy, Timothy Chalamet. Tim, thanks for being here. How the heck are you, man?
I'm good. It's Sunday, December 4th. And so I'm probably, what am I doing?
Celebrating Jay-Z's birthday.
Praying my fantasy football team wins. I've had a string of injuries. Cooper Kupp goes on IR. Dallas Goedert goes on IR. Everybody on my team had a concussion last week. It's been a struggle.
How are you doing on the season-wise? Like, are you in contention still?
Yeah, I made it four, but still. I can see my team. I can see the cracks. So last year, I had a crazy team. And like, the thing that worked, though, no one got injured. Mm. It was like a blessing. Like, I had a couple, like, someone's knee, maybe they left a game early, but no one was, like, out. Now I got cash just out till week 15. I'm like, oh. But it's been fun. But the last 2 weeks, I've had to wait till Monday Night Football, and that's the stress. And everyone who's ever played fantasy football, and they've got to wait until Monday Night Football to see if they won. They know that stress. It's not great.
How much money do you have riding on this?
You know, a little bit, not a lot, a little bit. A little
something. $5,000, not that much.
You know, big baller league, you know, 10K in, nah, not that. But no, it's mostly trash talk. And it just continues. When football season's over in our chat, still a lot of. And there's some people, a couple cats, I love my friends, but we like You can't let him win because he won't shut up.
I understand that. Yeah.
Yeah, but no, it's fun. And if I'm honest, like, you know, my friends, I'm at the age where my friends, they've got kids, they're married, they've got, their kids got things to do. But it's the one time, at least once a week, where I know we're at least during the season, we're talking shit and sending text messages and meeting up for the draft. So that's what I think I appreciate most about the season. And obviously trying to win.
Yeah, it's something to look forward to. So to have a connection with people, I get it. You know, I think the homie Rod was posted something about Madden or 2K. I think it was about 2K. How he just buys it every year and plays it. I do that shit too. I mean that's the closest thing I've ever been to fantasy sports.
Yeah,
was playing those games.
And
the time that I bet on women's college basketball.
Wow.
I bet at the championship game. I bet against a black woman. I bet against Dawn Staley, and I should have known better. But
I would have known.
I like those UConn girls. I like.
Yeah, it's UConn though.
I know, but I like Bud Paige. Paige Beckers is woke. You know, seems like a sweetheart.
Yeah,
I forgot about that. I forgot about like Dawn Staley, and I used to love her when I was a kid. You know,
same. She's a baller. An incredible coach.
Yeah, so I'm just kind of like, whoops, messed that up.
Yeah.
But we're not here to talk about sports. When I have you on, Tim, I like to talk movies. And this is one that as soon as I saw an inkling of you just have to tell me that Taylor Russell is in a movie.
Yes.
And I'm going to go ape shit. I'm going to go to the theater. I was mesmerized by her performance in Waves. I remember the night that I saw it. It was like a November of 2019.
Yeah.
It premiered. And like I think it was November might have been, and I saw it like a relatively late night screen. It ran like 9, got out at 11, and I immediately called you because you had already seen it.
I already seen it.
Oh my god! And we talked about that shit for over an hour.
We still talk about it a lot, but man, I implore you to find it and watch. I think it's on Showtime. Find it, watch it.
I own it. I pulled out.
I should own it, but like a bad, you know. I'll to my last breath tell everyone that's still one of the best movies I think I've ever seen.
I think so too, and it was Black American Beauty, and I think they do.
Yeah, that is a fantastic description of it.
Yeah, because around the mid to late 90s, they started coming out with these movies that are like dissecting the American family. Like you have like Welcome to the Dollhouse, Happiness, Ice Storm, American Ice Beauty Storm. And all these movies that are really interesting to me and provocative. And I was like, dang, where are the ones with the black people?
Yeah.
And American Beauty came out in 99. I had to wait 20 years.
You got it.
To see it. I finally got it.
Finally got it, man.
Like a black drama, and it delivered, and it was directed by a white man.
Yeah.
Well, I may or may not be Jewish. I don't know.
Anyway, so Taylor Russell, that was really, for
I'm not trying to be racist like Kanye, everybody. Don't cancel me. I was just trying to say like talk about the connection that blacks and Jews have with each other. Yeah. It's not all bad, everybody.
The civil rights.
Yes.
So Taylor, I mean, that was really my first introduction to her as
me
well.
Too.
But I've always been, she's one of those young actors that if I know she's in a project, I'm going to try to watch it. I watched that Escape Room.
Me too. I didn't see the sequel though. I have to go back.
Not great.
Yeah. First one was all right. You know,
the first one's solid.
Yeah.
TNT for the rest of the of our life. It's one of those type of movies.
Get your money, Taylor. I'm not mad at you. You know,
but
wait. Did you know this? Fun fact: she played Lark Voorhees in the Saved by the Bell unauthorized documentary.
What?
Yep. I don't know if you.
That's hilarious. That looks wow.
Yep.
The guy playing Slayer is hilarious looking.
Not look like Mario.
No, not at all. So obviously, I remember you texted me this trailer. It was super early in the morning, probably. Which is fine, because I'm up. So it's fine. I'm trained because my dad used to do that. My dad used to text me about Vince Young at like 6 a.m. I'm like, I don't want to talk about no Vince Young at 6 a.m. What are we doing?
Oh, man. Was it Texas years or Tennessee Titans?
Oh, Texas years. Oh, yeah. He thought Vince Young was God's gift to football.
Well, could you blame him?
Until I made him watch that Reggie Bush game, then he changed his mind.
Oh, my God.
But yeah. So I'm up. But I remember watching it and being like, this is a super interesting thing. I don't know where they're going with this movie. The poster, they look like a heart shape. Like, it's a love story.
And we're talking about Bones and All, directed by Luca Guadagnino.
Yeah. So our first impression was, I think the teaser trailer doesn't give away a lot because you're not introduced to Mark Rylance's character.
Right.
At all. But you see him in the theatrical trailer. So my first glance was like, I don't know what this is, but she's in it. I enjoy Timothée Chalamet. I'm in.
Yeah. So let's read the blurb. Let's read the Letterboxd blurb. Abandoned by her father, a young woman named Marin embarks on a 1,000-mile odyssey through the back roads of America, where she meets Lee, a disenfranchised drifter. But despite their best efforts, all roads lead back to their terrifying past and to a final stand that will determine whether their love can survive their otherness.
Otherness is a fun way to put it. Can I say something before we get started?
Yeah.
Andre Holland is a gift. Like, when we talk about Black actors, when we talk about actors who can get it in,
mm-hmm.
Never on that list, but man, everything I see him in, man, he kills it.
Theater guy.
Yeah, he's in this not even that long. But immediately I was like, oh, Andre Holland's in this? Like, they really, man, he's great, man. Just go to his IMDb at some point, just look at his projects. He did High Flying Bird, which I thought was incredible. Obviously, Moonlight, Passing, Miracle of St. Anna.
I don't remember him in Miracle.
I don't remember him in Bride Wars, and I've seen that movie multiple times.
Huh. Very small part.
Yeah.
You know, fun fact about this.
Yeah.
This I think this was like was a 4-hour cut.
God, dog.
And they cut out a lot, and I guarantee he was in it a lot more.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on this film overall? And then we'll break it down. And spoilers for this one. We're going to spoil this.
We're going to spoil it. It's one of those movies. My first thought is like, this is super interesting, but there's only like a handful of people I could tell to watch it. You know what I mean? Like I enjoyed it.
And yeah.
I think there's a lot in it, but man, mm-hmm. only a couple. I know they'd be like, man, what the fuck is this? Like, I know I get that.
Yeah.
Don't want to do that with the homies to be like, man, Tim God is watching, they eating people. Like,
yeah.
There's a handful of people I can be like, hey, watch it. And I know when you watch it, I know what you're gonna extract what needs to be extracted from it. Because it is kind of graphic. Like I was telling
it's very gory. It is. Yeah.
I knew this, bro. And I ordered some food and I was hungry.
Oh shit.
I start eating and I started watching, and it got to the scene at the corn maze at the fair festival.
Oh, wow.
I said, oh, come on, man. I said, I had to put my food down. I said, what am I?
You was eating when she met Mark Rylance? You didn't bother you?
No, my food hadn't got here yet.
Oh, okay. All right.
Showed up and I'm into the movie and I'm eating. I'm like, oh, they got this. I was like, oh.
What were you eating?
This man, it's a fantastic place. They got this. It's called it's got a name to like a fire something burrito.
Why did I know you were eating a burrito?
Yeah, all the stuff they have is fresh, and they've got like this mango habanero sauce. Man, anyway, this is Fat Boy Corner right now. But man, it's good.
It's all good.
Anyway, so I'm eating, and I was like, I can't tell everybody about this movie, but I think Taylor was great as usual. It's just a different role for her, just seeing her be a this vulnerable kid, but like also kind of having some street smarts about her. Like,
yeah.
What's Mark Ross's character's name?
You want to see? I can look that up.
Gus, so not Gus. He has some one.
Sully.
So when she meets Sully, and Sully's like, "Hey, you know, follow me." She instinctively picks up a rock as a weapon. But so,
well, let's start here. So this is about this young girl who is at this school. She's in high school in somewhere in Maryland she's from the Eastern Shore, so she says. She's in this town, small town. She's in high school. She's playing the piano. And she's like kind of by herself, and she has a friend who invites her to her house for the night. They're going to have a sleepover, and she's from the rich side of the town, the mm-hmm. upper crust side of town, the good side of the train tracks. And she says, "Well, where do you live?" So I live, if you follow the power lines, you'll find my house, poor girl. Mm-hmm. And she didn't say poor girl, but that's kind of implied. And she goes to this girl. She sneaks out of her house because her dad is not super protective, but he's protective of her.
Yeah.
And she sneaks out of the house and she's hanging out with this girl. They're doing girl things. Like, they're in high school. They're mm-hmm. painting each other's nails and talking about stuff. Mm-hmm. And she's under the, the coffee table mm-hmm. with the girl. And they're kind of having an intimate moment. Not like it's anything gay or anything. It's just girls being girls. And they're trying on paint and fingernail polish. And Marin, who's played by Taylor Russell, gets overwhelmed and bites this girl's fingers practically off.
Mm-hmm.
And she has to run away. And she runs away, runs to the house, tells her dad. And they just go off to another part of town, or they run away. And then he essentially leaves her.
Well, what I like about that scene when she goes to the house is clearly his reaction tells you that they clearly have a plan for if this
right.
happened. So we got time to get out of here, hurry up, pack, blank, 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 blank. We got to go.
There's clearly an exit plan.
Yeah, this is an exit plan.
She's done something. It's almost implied. It's implied that she's done this before.
Yeah.
And it gets to a point where the next day he leaves.
She's 18 now.
She's 18. And he leaves her some money. How much? Like $100 or so. And a letter. And then
a Walkman.
A Walkman with a tape in it telling her what to do. And says, he tells her to listen to it and don't let anybody else hear it. Destroy the tape. This was like this first part of the movie, the first quarter, the first act was fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Cause really you don't know, you know that this girl has a problem.
You don't know what it is.
And it's so bad that her father, who seems to be this super loving guy, nurturing guy, he's a single parent and they seem to have this really good relationship. He just up and leaves. Yeah. And he's like, "I can't do this no more. This is how to live. This is your daddy. I'm telling you this stuff, and get rid of this tape. Cause I don't want to be incriminated."
I like about the tape. It gives you a backstory to these characters.
Yes.
Without having to do a flashback scene.
Right.
And
because, go ahead.
Andre Holland is such a good voice actor that you're drawn into it.
Mm-hmm. I thought this was going to be a device that carried us through the whole film.
Same.
And the thing, I gave this film, I gave it 4 stars on Letterboxd, and it would have been like a 3 for me, but it's because of what a lot of the things they were doing stylistically with the first act.
Yeah.
Taylor Russell's performance bumped it up. It just kind of became, it meandered towards the end.
It does.
And that's the thing that kind of, one of the reasons probably why you wouldn't really recommend this to any normies off the rip. You would say, it's good, but I don't know that you would, if you would be into this, if you would lock into this. And you know, I want to know your I guess we're talking about the story. We can move through the story, but maybe when we talk about like some overall thoughts on it later, I'll try to put a pin in that. So she's on the run by herself.
Solo dolo.
She goes, tries to get a bus ticket. This is like, and this is in the late 80s.
Right.
We should also note that. I love the way this fucking thing was shot, man.
Yeah.
The cinematography, this bare bones, like, yeah. It feels like it was shot on film. I don't know how we can look that up to see if it was bones and all. Well, maybe we can look. Maybe it's on IMDb. But you can. What were you gonna say something to?
Oh no, no. It was shot so like that's what was really keeping my attention, like how it was shot.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like you're getting sort of this organic look at these people and how they live.
Yeah,
and not like watching these performances. I don't know if that makes sense, but man, what a fascinating way to talk about cannibalism.
Yeah. It was really grounded. I saw
a tweet, someone was like, you're romanticizing cannibalism. I was like, I don't think this movie romanticized any of it.
This is what I said. This is what my review was. I wrote, I think I read this last week. I said, I would pay to watch Taylor Russell read the phone book, something she actually does in this movie. So I paid to watch her play a burgeoning young cannibal who finds love on a road trip in the late 80s. It's a very weird, dark, and grounded flick.
Yeah.
I just appreciate how it was. But then, because this was based on a novel, yeah. I believe. It's it's in the wiki. The wiki says.
I knew it was because that scene where they're at the campfire and the guy, where the line "both and all's" come from. That whole monologue, I was like, "Oh, yeah. This is a book."
Like, based on "Bones and All" by Camille DeAngelis.
Yeah. I was like, "Oh, this was a book." Just that whole thing was delivered.
Yeah, it's because it kind of had like a young adult vibe to it.
Yeah.
And I was pleasantly surprised that this was going to be in wide release. And it was almost like because of Timothée Chalamet, like what you were saying, I think he got this movie. He was a producer on this one.
Yeah.
I think he got it to be like in wide release because the ladies love Chalamet. But this is like almost like Don't Worry, Darling with Harry Styles sans all the negative controversy.
Mm-hmm. You're right. You're exactly right.
Because I think it's gonna put
not a wide release movie.
Yeah, it does. Because I was like, "What? It's wide release?"
Because it's not a wide release topic.
No.
Yeah, like I remember loving Shame, but like who's gonna watch this R-rated NC-17 movie about a dude with a sex addiction?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Same with this. Like, who's gonna watch about these two young cannibals that somehow find love?
Right.
And it's super gory, and it's got a really creepy Mark Rylance performance.
I think he was
really uncomfortable at the end of the movie, bro. I'm honest.
He was creepy as fuck from the rip.
He was creepy from the rip, but I wasn't like creepy killer creepy stalker creepy. But like when he had her pinned down on that bed, I was like, bro.
Yeah. Do you think he's gonna get nominated?
He should.
I think he will. I think he will get nominated, but I don't think Taylor Russell will.
No, she might not. She was good.
It's such a, she's so, like, her performance is so understated.
Yeah.
That it's almost like she doesn't, I don't know if she's going to get the credit that she deserves. And she's going to get more work.
Jumping off the screen.
Yeah.
There is no, I mean, outside of that scene. I mean, but she's so good, like that scene when she goes to try to find her mom.
Yes.
She's at that woman's house.
Mm-hmm.
She's trying to ask questions. And even that scene
basically at her grandmother's house.
Yeah, that scene with the mom.
Yeah. So she basically she's on this. She's really it's really a story. It's a coming of age story.
Right.
But she's a cannibal.
She's a cannibal.
And it's really like one of those films where she finds love. She's trying to find her mother. And it's under the you get to see these different areas of the U.S. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's just it's a road movie. It's a road trip movie.
Yeah.
I just think it loses steam after she gets to her mom.
Because that's the climactic scene, and
you
end up downloading a bunch of other information. And then I would have ended with that scene.
I'm just kind of I'm a stand for her. So it's like anytime she's on the screen more, but it got to the point where it was like, where is this going?
Yeah, where is it going?
Their love to me, it's not enough.
Because we don't spend enough time with them.
Yeah, because for the
end of the third act to really matter.
Yeah.
It should have that to have weight, this sort of sacrifice thing, and like it just doesn't have any weight to it because you're like, oh, I kind of just met you.
What did you think about Timothée Chalamet in this?
He was good.
I thought he was good. His story,
that was interesting.
Like the homosexuality, like he baits that dude. He kind of gay baits the guy at the carnival.
in the carnival.
Yeah, like they're because they get hungry. Taylor's hungry.
Yeah,
and they're on the Ferris wheel. She's like, I'm hungry, Lee. He's like, okay, they gotta kill somebody.
Yeah, I was like, oh, that's in the love. Go eat somebody.
Yeah, so they find this dude at the carnival, and he's being a dick. He's being a dick to a kid, so you know, okay, this guy can die because he's being mean.
He deserves to die because
he's being an asshole to a kid. And so,
That's why that scene is in there. That's the funny part.
Yeah,
we watched that just to see. Oh, he's an asshole. He deserves what's going to happen to him in 5 minutes.
Yeah. So it's like you're like, oh shit, here it goes. And then he basically What do you call that? Gay baiting? I don't know.
Yeah.
He hustles him, and then they ask, oh, what time do you get off work? And then he's like,
I got weed in my car.
They go to a cornfield, and Tim can't eat his burrito anymore.
Yeah. He's giving dude a reach around and like cuts his throat.
Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah.
Poor guy. He's feeling great one moment and then bleeding out.
Mm-hmm. And then we find out, like, they steal his car. Then they find out that he's got a family.
Yeah.
And because they killed it. They killed the guy 40 minutes earlier.
Yeah.
Who was an asshole, like a drunk dude at a supermarket.
Yeah.
Who lived on his own. And they stole his truck for most of the trip.
But they had their rules. They weren't killing people with families. And they didn't know
that. Right.
So they felt bad about it. But there's not enough of these rules established that I feel like they live by for that to even matter to me.
Yeah.
I was like, why do you care so much? You guys are killing people.
Yeah, I just wonder. I just wonder what, because it just meandered. How long is this thing? This is...
Could have been a good 30 minutes shorter.
Movie. 2 hours and 10 minutes?
Could have been a 90-minute movie.
130 minutes? Yeah.
100 minutes. Doing fine.
Yeah, I don't know what.
When they bring Sully in again at the end of third act, I was like, okay, this is
mm-hmm.
kill, and then and to what end?
Right. It's like, who is she gonna be? Like, are they?
Yeah.
They're gonna pretend to. They're gonna go to Ann Arbor and live, and then. You know, Sully catches up. He's like, I can smell your I can smell your blood. Like we were talking about with Run, Sweetheart, Run. Like, blood is a thing. Like this dude Sully has been a cannibal for decades, and he hunts her out. That to me, the scene where Sully which I think he got his nomination when they in that scene where he finds her.
When he pulls up in the van?
When he pulls up in the van. Not at the end. I think it's where he gets his nomination in that scene.
Yeah.
Very like
major, something's off with Sully.
Major incel vibes.
Yeah. Something's off with Sully.
Yeah. Cause she's living her life. It's just a, I think it's a
weird really, ass movie.
Really good film.
It's a weird ass movie. It's
weird as fuck.
You can get through it. It's super interesting. Great performances. Like I said, Andre Holland's great when he's in there. Mark Rylance is probably gonna win something behind that.
Yeah.
Taylor's always great. It's just got to find an entry point to this movie. It's not a crowd pleaser. It's not for everyone. It's not really a movie. It's not really, it's kind of weird. Like I said, it's a coming of age movie with like very adult themes in it.
Yeah.
That most movies don't talk about or discuss or tackle. If you aren't happy, they're not living great lives. People look poor, they're blood all over their faces, and they're just trying to survive in this world that they feel rejects them. And she's trying to find love after being left by her father and feeling like she's not wanted by anybody, and trying to find her mother and that connection. And fucking Lee's got some tragic backstory. We never even see his mom. We just hear her. His sister.
The first hour is amazing. The
first hour is really incredible.
And I want to highlight your point of like Andre Holland. Like if we could have had that for another, like if we could have just had more narrative or more backstory delivered that way. It was just brilliant. And I think there was they had to cut a lot because she had that dream sequence when she had her dad. Yeah. Like, you know, they shot like
much shit. Yeah, I forgot about that sequence.
I want to see what they cut out. I would want to see a 4-hour cut of this. They're never going to do it.
It's them eating across country. Like diners, drive-ins and dines. Just
yeah. I think it's just so much stuff in there with the dad.
I think it's a lot of dad stuff too. But it was some early stuff with the mom.
It was just enough to establish character. Mm-hmm. And for the good of it all was just like to establish the character, to show that relationship. You see him for a brief time. You see that there's love there, but he's like, I can't do this.
Yeah, I can't do this. No,
I can't do this the rest of my life. Because it starts like this girl's an outsider. Everybody's left school. She's in the gymnasium auditorium, like playing the piano. It's like it's the 80s. I love the way it was shot. I love all the setups, like from the technical aspect of everything they were doing. And then even like, killing these people, because this isn't really a horror movie. You're eating this person that's been, that's dying up there, in that house, that first,
scene.
And you see the pictures. They really, you see the eating, but it's like, then you see the person. This was a person. This was a person who lived a life. Yeah. And this is what you're violating this person's humanity.
Yep.
And you see, and the person that's doing, Sully is a fucking savage. Also, Marin is a savage. This character Taylor Russell's playing, but at the same time, she looks so sweet and innocent.
Yeah,
that she's playing against type.
Yeah,
because we really haven't seen her. She's an ingenue, mm-hmm. in mostly everything she's in. Mm-hmm. But with this one, it's just like okay, but it's you still kind of root for her to find what she's looking for.
Even though you're watching her eat people's faces, like
right, and even though you've seen her mom. Do it, and when she was like, "I'm hungry," I was like, "Oh shit,
oh shit, I know, snack time."
Yeah, so it's just like, it's like, man, it just meet the third act. I don't know.
No, you with you? I'm with you. I'm with you 100%. Like, I feel the same way.
It's almost how like Don't Worry, Darling was how I felt about that. I'm making another comparison where it's just like I got the third act kind of didn't do it for me because the setup was good. I understood what they were doing. And it's just all the controversy from before that film came out was just like a clusterfuck. But it was still, to me, it was still a solid movie, but it just, the third act didn't deliver. But it has, I wouldn't say that Olivia Wilde's not a competent director.
No, she is.
I'll see whatever she does. Cause I was like, oh shit, you go from Booksmart to to like this sci-fi thriller Black Mirror type thing, I'll rock with you. I'll check it out, you know. But this one, I think it suffered from the same thing. And you got this good acting. You got, you know, Russell, obviously, Chalamet, and then Rylance, who I thought was really good in this film called The Outfit.
Yeah.
Came out, was it last year or early, late last year or early? Yeah, early this year, I believe.
Good stuff, man.
Yeah, yeah. I think it was, you could probably wait till this is on VOD.
Yeah. Or streaming somewhere.
But like, I did give it 4 stars. I just bumped it up. I'm a Taylor Russell fan.
I feel you.
I would say see if you haven't seen Waves, what the fuck are you doing?
Go watch Waves.
But if you wanna see something interesting, I would say go see it. I think a lot of young girls are gonna get tricked into seeing this and get freaked out.
Yeah. Ooh, Timothée Chalamet. Oh my God.
Because this is, to me, I think
he's dark.
Silence of the Lambs was scary to me when I was like 9 or 10 years old, and it's still kind of creepy. It is creepy, but I don't think they get this violent, this graphic.
Nah, this is violent. Yeah.
Like Buffalo Bill is scary, but
yeah.
But this is like, whoa.
For sure. Yeah.
Well, how do you feel overall about this one, Tim?
I guess, man, I enjoyed it. It's a good one. It's gonna be hard to recommend. It's gonna draw a lot of eyeballs.
Mm-hmm.
I think you'll see some mummers about this and mummering about performances during award season.
Yeah,
and I think it'll live an additional life once it hits streaming. I think people will stumble upon it.
And I think Taylor Russell's won some awards for this.
You might have won. Yeah, she would just add something. Gotham Awards.
Yeah, let's see. Wore jeans at the Gotham. Jeans,
that's what it was. And a Y2K era strappy sandals combo. Unfortunately, SCT and Count Romance is a letdown. What?
The Atlantic. Well, you know they're gonna say that. See, that's what they're selling it as, because
it's not a sexy teen camera.
It's not a sex. It's not, because it's not fucking Twilight. Because that's
not, yeah. Or Warm Bodies.
It's not, yeah, yeah. It's not even Warm Bodies. Because Warm, but I did like Warm Bodies.
Yeah, but it's not that.
It's not that either. Because that's more.
This is like a dark movie that had.
Yeah.
To have, it's like the movie, that movie, Kids.
Kids.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, it's like that. Like, this is actually a movie for kids. Like, it's,
yeah,
this isn't like a teen drama. It's just, it's not cute.
No, shit ain't sweet about this one. Well, no. Tim, do you have any other? So we did like it, but it's I would say, see this. You could wait till VOD, and if you like Taylor Russell as much as we do, then you probably go to the theaters. But this is coming around the time where, you know, I don't know, man. How many times can you see Black Panther? I even think, like, yeah. I said, you know, last week, I said, you know, I'm probably going to just wait till it comes on VOD and get it, Black Panther. Yeah. And I'll probably just get, I will buy this movie just because I want a Taylor Russell, up Freudian slip, Taylor Russell. I want to get her stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is there anything else you're excited about? Because I don't think we talked about that on the Patreon.
No, not really.
Yeah, I can't really think of anything.
I can't.
Think I was of... excited about this one.
Yeah, I'm not excited about much. I'm just excited to see all the new stuff that's going to come out.
But yeah,
I like something that I'm like, I got to see this. Like,
yeah, like I read a piece on Sarah Polley, who directed Women Talking.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of actresses I like that are in that.
Yeah.
I'd be interested in seeing that, but
yeah.
I can't think of anything right now.
Yeah, like, me either, brother.
Yeah. And I did see this trailer for what's like Finn? What's the kid from Stranger Things? And
Finn Wolfhard.
Yeah, and Julianne Moore.
Yeah, well, he's like, he's being a badass kid.
Why you end up Finn? When you finish saving the world, that like looks like a good family drama that I would like to see, like coming out in January though. But I'd be all over that. But When You Finish Saving the World, Jesse Eisenberg directed it.
Yeah.
Emma Stone produced. I was about to say, oh shit. I can't think of anything, dude.
What? Me either. We'll come back on and we'll.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out. We'll
most likely have our favorite movies of the 2022 sometime next year.
Let's do it. I'm down.
Gonna add Tim to the mix.
I'm down.
Got anything else to add, Tim?
That's it, man. No, always a good time talking to you about anything, especially movies that we love.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, good time. It's always fun.
All right, man. We'll plug some stuff and we'll get up out of here. This was a short one, folks. If you want more, there's more Tim and I on Patreon. So
yeah. Find me People's Critic on Twitter, Instagram, the People's Critic blog where my reviews are at. I gotta figure out my top 10 list now that I'm talking about it. And try to work on something. I'm trying to work on something for 2023. Do it involve me talking about the stuff that's streaming that you should watch.
Gotcha. Yeah, that'll be
not great. That's just the framework, but I'm trying to figure out a different way to frame it that's not so straightforward and boring. But yeah, just something I want to do different in 2023, since I know I find myself watching more stuff streaming nowadays than I have in the past.
Same here. Yeah.
And I think a lot, it's just where everything is shifting. So I just want to, you know, because these are things, it used to be people asking about movies. Now they're asking me what I'm watching.
Yeah.
So, you know, want to meet people where they're at.
That's what's up, man. Tim, a joy as always, my man. This has been fun. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And I'll talk to you next time. Take it easy, everybody.